Over the past several weeks, I've had friends text me an eerily similar theme. People are wondering if I feel like things don't feel right, as if something is off, something is odd with the news stories, with the general feeling about life. And yes, I do. I look at the headlines and everything feels sensationalized. Everything feels like doom and gloom, from the 2024 election to World War III fears thanks to Israel and Iran, to the doomsayers that are talking about the eclipse that's coming, to the CERN lab that's about to fire back up. You turn on the news and somebody's going to try to scare the living hell out of you. Well, I'd like to tell you, do not be afraid, because I believe everything is going to be all right, just like Bob Marley told us. Sit back, grab yourself a cup of coffee or whatever it is that you're into. You're listening to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden. Let's get emboldened.
America Emboldened.
Greg, I feel emboldened.
You don't know the founding fathers. You don't know what they did. You don't know what they sacrificed. We have lost touch with the principles in the Constitution. Nobody's read the Declaration of Independence. You are voting for socialism, and you got what you voted for.
Welcome, bold Americans, to another episode of America Emboldened. As always, I'm your host, Greg Bolden. All right, so I've gotten several text messages with people saying, is it just me or do things seem weird? Like something is going on, like something's off, or life just doesn't feel proper. Something just is amiss in what's going on with the headlines. And I went to several different websites before preparing today's show. And I have a number of tabs up on my computer screen in front of me right now. And it's almost like ADHD, because as they're all staring at me, I don't have a good plan for how to get through all of this, other than that's kind of just with the theme of everything is just all over the place. So let's get to the biggest one to start first. In case you didn't know this, Iran is preparing to launch their own strikes against Israel. And there are multiple newspapers reporting that Israel is warning that Iran may launch an October 7th style revenge massacre for their embassy strike that took out one of their lead top generals, which was, I believe, Mohammad Zahedi. He was killed in that blast, as well as, I believe, seven other people. And there's also been a number of other blasts in the area that Israel has basically kind of went, oopsies, sorry about that, we didn't mean to kill those people, where a chef and a reviewer of food was both killed. And this isn't a good look. It's not a good look for the United States. It's not a good look for Israel. In Damascus, where they struck the Iranian general just north of Jordan in Syria, Gaza has had Brits killed in airstrike from aid workers that were killed in this airstrike. And at Elliott Naval Base is where they launched a drone from Iraq and hit Israeli territory. And in Aleppo, I remember Aleppo, haven't heard that name in a while, there was an alleged Israeli strike that killed more than 40 people. Well, there are people that are very concerned right now that we may be on the brink of World War III. It's almost as if anything that I said over the past, I don't know how many months I've been saying it, maybe a year, that World War III was dangerously close. And if our administration continued down this path, they were marching us to it, first with Ukraine and now with Israel. Well, here we are. And Iran's reaction does not sound like it's going to be limited to Israel, because the news is telling people that people in the UK should also be on preparations that there could be additional attacks within the United Kingdom. Now, if there are attacks in the United Kingdom, oh my, yeah, that would be a major event of escalation moving this out of the Middle East and into the European Union side and into NATO countries, which is going to create a world war. Why is it going to create a world war? Because they all have agreements within NATO. You attack one, you attack all. The United States is pulled into that as well. So apparently there was an unintentional airstrike in Gaza that killed these six aid workers, these three Brits, the restaurateurs that I was telling you about, to which Netanyahu was basically like, sorry about that. That was a mistake. Oops. Which I guess is basically what Obama used to do when he used to have the drone strikes and took out like the wedding party instead of the terrorist, or George Bush back during after 9/11. He used to do that. It's like, oops, sorry, guys. They look like terrorists. You know, they had these things over top their heads. They were partying in the streets. We thought they were maybe saying like, you know, death to America. But nope, it was just a bunch of people getting married. It was just like the greatest day of their life up until that point. And sorry, but we extinguished their lives. So now there are protests against the United States all over the Middle East, people burning American flags. Now, did America send these missiles in to kill all these people? No, but America's perceived as supporting what's going on right now with Israel, which is why people are burning the American flags, the Israeli flags, as well as United Kingdom, burning English flags as well. Not too happy with the British right now. Now, let's see. Iranians, they normally don't like getting their hands dirty. So I think it's going to be interesting to see what type of cyber attacks happen with this. It's going to be very interesting to see what type of strike they do in Israel. Now let's think about what's happened here in the United States just over the past, I don't know, week. We've got a boat hitting the port of Baltimore, which, by the way, great job by the people at the port of Baltimore, already getting these major boats in to try to remove some of this damage in order to get the port reopened. Hopefully, maybe either by the time you're hearing this on Wednesday, or by the end of this week, they will have some small paths for the shipping industry to finally get a little bit better through. That is at least what is estimated by the government officials and the Baltimore officials. Then in Arkansas, in case you didn't see it, a huge tugboat rammed into a bridge and did some damage to the bridge. It did not collapse, but it did a ton of damage to the tugboat. And then there was also a ship in Turkey that rammed into a shipping lane uncontrolled and took out the cranes that normally would unload the ship. Why is it these boats right now are all starting to go offline and crash? Is it a terrorist attack? Is it cyber attacks? And are you aware that the Iranian Guard is one of the most sophisticated in cyber warfare, that they could operate at arm's length away from everybody else and be able to take people out? It is very possible. Now, also, in the United States, I mean, what happened with Joe Biden and his administration and our border? Have we allowed the infidels to come in along the border in order to attack us at any point, should they get the signal from the homeland? And are we safe in the United States at this point in time? I don't believe that we are. I personally believe that the border is something that not only benefits election interference in the upcoming election, but I also believe that this border that is open allows us to have terrorist attacks in the future. In fact, it's not just my thought process, but our own FBI, Christopher Wray, has been talking about this, talking to all the sheriffs throughout the country saying, hey, you know what? We believe they're at a heightened alert level. Be on the lookout. And former FBI agents, I read you that letter about 2 months ago that got published, or a month and a half ago, where they've said, at this point in time, we are at the most vulnerable state that we've been since 9/11. In fact, the same markers that were going off during 9/11 are going off right now. So with that stated, what about China? What about Taiwan? And the fact that we have these ships there? Well, did you know that not only do we have our soldiers permanently stationed just off a few miles from the coastline of China? Can you imagine if China found land that they could just mark themselves up in their soldiers and just place them within 3 miles of like New York City. Can you imagine what the news media would be doing with that? The fear and the hype. Well, I believe that maybe you should pay attention to what's going on in the Red Sea, because now Russian warships, Chinese warships, United States, the UK, we all are there, and things are getting hot right now. Now, Iran believes that they have the support of Russia, China, and North Korea, and they believe that they would support them either covertly or offensively if there was a global conflict. Are we ready for a war with Russia, China, North Korea, and Iran, many of which are nuclear superpowers? Not putting North Korea in the nuclear superpower, but they have nuclear capabilities and they have enough missiles and weapons to certainly endanger a lot of our allies like Japan and South Korea and unstabilize the entire region. So why is it that people feel completely on edge right now? Well, maybe it's that. Maybe it's the fact that, you know, Iran has been funding Hezbollah, they've been funding Hamas, and so it's really their proxy war that started this whole thing with Israel. And maybe it's the fact that our government continues to just toss billions of dollars to the Ukraine and Israel in order to continue the conflict. Meanwhile, we have not made what seems like meaningful progress in order to wipe out the actual threat, which was the Palestinians in Hamas that attacked Israel. I mean, where's Hamas right now? It seems to me like Iran is Hamas. Maybe we were attacking and giving our money to the wrong place if we were looking to make things better. But if you listen to my show, you know, I wasn't all about that life. I was basically saying, you know, I don't want to start no S and be in no S, right? I wanted to mind our own business. More non-interventionalism in this conflict, because something I believe was going to give, and now we're seeing it. But that's not all that's happening right now in the world that's making us uneasy. There's tons of people right now that are cashing in on your fears for next week and the eclipse that's coming out, and that's a big story. And people are talking about, like, you know, well, this is the first eclipse in 7 years. It's been major. And seven in the Bible, you know, people should pay attention because that's the restoration number, renewal. It's called for a covenant and oaths. It always goes back to seven. You know what it is, people? It's also just 7 years, okay? 7 years sometimes just happens, all right? Or the fact they're like, well, it's going through all these cities named Salem last time, and now it's going through all these cities called Nevi'ah, and Nevi'ah backwards, you know, basically heaven. And look, everybody, chill out trying to decode everything that is going on and trying to give it larger meaning than what it is. Let's talk about what you should really be concerned about during the eclipse, which is really not much. You should be concerned maybe about burning your eyeballs if you happen to be staring at the sun for long periods of time directly before it's covered in totality, if you are part of the section that's going to be covered in totality, which is basically in like the Ohio region through Rochester, New York, down through Mexico. It kind of goes through like this little arc through. But the entire country should be able to see at least a partial eclipse, which will be pretty neat as long as the weather is good. But what can you expect in the middle? What can you expect in the total eclipse? Well, I have never had an opportunity to experience a total eclipse. When I was really young, maybe like third grade in the early 80s, I remember there was an eclipse and I looked up for a brief period of time, and I think it was probably at something around like 88% totality, which was pretty cool looking, but it didn't give you the darkened skies, right? But it did darken a little bit, but not like nighttime. The people that are underneath the main point of this are going to experience darkness. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's going to be eerie things that happen, but nothing more than what happens at 9 p.m. currently in America. The animals are going to think that it's nighttime. They're going to go silent. Perhaps you might hear the night creatures making some night sounds, like maybe you'll hear some frogs starting to go cricket. Maybe you'll hear some crickets starting to chirp. I think I meant to say frogs going ribbit, and I said crickets because that was the next thing on my mind. And maybe you'll see the birds kind of disappear from the sky and they go home to rest. And guess what? About 8 minutes later, when the sun starts coming out on the other side and the sunlight, all that stuff's going to wake back up and nature's going to go back to being nature. Because that's what this is. It's nature. Now, what you could be more alarmed with is the fact that there are people that are turning this into like this occult event. And maybe that is a larger danger. On the flip side, we'll talk about the Large Hadron Collider firing back up. And we'll get into a lot of these other stories of fear and getting into why I believe the occult, people that believe in like some just crazy stuff, are the real danger here when you couple that with headlines that are pushing us to the brink of wanting us to be crazy. So there are some people that I believe would like to usher in an occult event. So if you pay attention to like the CERN lab, which ironically, or maybe not by any accident whatsoever, is going to fire up once again this year, the Large Hadron Collider, and bring it back online and start their experiments when, but during the eclipse. Now, why are they doing this during the eclipse? Well, I have some theories that are based out of scientific facts. Did you know that they're going to shoot some rockets up into the ionosphere during the eclipse of totality? The reason they're going to do this is to be able to study the effects on the Earth's magnetic field. NASA is going to be doing some experiments with SpaceX. Now, the reason why this is going on is because our magnetic field may weaken or warp during these type of events. As the coronal is coming through, the coronal will be seen on the sun. They want to be able to track the winds to see if it's blocked at all by the moon. It's actually going to be very good data that's coming in. Now, CERN, which is going to be colliding these particles, also affects the magnetic field. People don't pay attention to this stuff as much as they should because, quite honestly, most just don't have the interest that I probably have in the nerdy parts of this. But the particle accelerator, to me, is a fascinating thing of great energy that physicists have been using to figure out how resonant lines can intersect. Well, this all ties to the Earth's magnetic field. So perhaps if there is going to be a weakening or a strengthening, they want to see how do these particles behave during an eclipse? Do they behave any differently? Well, there is some new research that just got published in the Journal of Nature Physics, and scientists at CERN in Switzerland, as well as in Frankfurt in Germany, announced they have now isolated a resonant ghost. And that ghost, and I'm putting in quotes here, because it's not a ghost the way that you and I would think of them, but maybe a ghost more how Chris Michaels and I might describe them of energy. And that is how particles behave inside the superproton synchrotron, which is called the SPS. And it's a 3D shape that shifts over time, which means it's being measured now in a fourth dimension. Very interesting. A fourth dimension, which they said the secret is the same reason you spill your coffee walking back to your desk or super bounce your friends off the trampoline, because they believe it's like this ripple that's being going out that is starting to shake everything else. So they have now upgraded in 2019, what's called the beam dump, which is basically like if you have a runaway truck, they need to be able to get the truck off the highway safely. So they get these high-powered beams inside the SPS out safely. Well, apparently there is a ghost that's being caused by this resonance. When there's energy that's making those waves, the waves can now interact with each other and they create this little, what they call loci, where energy is being amplified. All right. So if you're walking with your coffee, you're amplifying the movement that's in that cup and it starts moving more. Well, in physics, they're seeing this resonance that is starting to help them understand that there is a degree of freedom to how vibrations are interacting with all of the particles in life. It's almost like when Michaels and I try to explain to people that our energy And our manifestation from that energy is a real thing, which some people are like, what are you guys doing with the mumbo jumbo talk? And really, it's really only one person. Most of my listening audience actually gets what I'm saying, believe it or not. So that one person knows who they are, and I'm sure you text me about this, but read the article. It's from popularmechanics.com, has now published this, but the report comes directly from the scientist at CERN in Switzerland and Goethe University in Frankfurt in Germany, where this thing's happening. So yes, they are finding that there is a fourth dimension when you add in the addition of time as that fourth dimension, where this ghost can kind of make up its own rules. And so they're trying now to figure out, how do we avoid these ghosts and keep everything with data intact? Well, perhaps they want to see how the ghost behaves if CERN is going to fire up at the same time we have total eclipses. Perhaps the Earth's magnetic field, they can see if it causes a different wave. So I believe that not only are we getting the NASA rockets being shot up there, but we are also seeing the fact that CERN would like to take advantage of this as well to figure out why this ghosting is happening and can that be controlled in a different way. Nothing to fear at this point, except for the fact there are many people that believe anytime that CERN fires this up, it opens up a portal. And you know what? It's kind of interesting because when people ask me questions about, do you feel like something's off? It's normally when I go to CERN and I try to figure out, like, hey, has anything been firing? It's normally always around when CERN is active or about to be active that people start noticing that things don't seem to feel right and proper. And so I'm kind of curious, is CERN causing the Mandela effect? Is there more to it than just a fun little story that people tell one another about how they remember the Berenstein Bears being spelled one way or the other, or when Nelson Mandela was imprisoned or died and how people have different accounts of it? Is that being caused by the Large Hadron Collider? I don't know, but you know what? We're still alive. We are still here. So let's all chill out and relax. When the solar eclipse happens, just look up, enjoy it, protect your eyes. If you're at a spot where it's a total eclipse, you can look at it directly. In fact, you're going to have to take off those glasses. The corona on the outside, you see neat colors coming through. It's going to be awesome. I wish that I wasn't going to be in the classroom that day because I would drive west just to be in the totality so I could witness it myself. Matter of fact, I'm still thinking about taking a day off of work. But I just got to map out how many hours I have to drive in order to get there. And it would probably I probably can't do it. It'd be 2 days off work for me from the classroom. And we're towards the end of the year anyway. So that's probably not going to work out too well. All right. Now, other things that are kind of weird. As you know, I've been talking about the fact that I bought this Tesla and they have full self-driving that got unlocked for the month of April for everybody. They gave it out and said, basically, everybody play with this and drive with it. So I put it on and I did my first drive when I was coming back from my dentist. I had my 6-month dental visit. And on my way home, I was like, I'll have this thing drive me home and see what this is all about. It was insane to see how far along this technology truly is at this point in time. But as I continued to use it, I used it to go up to the in-laws for Easter. It was actually super nice. On the freeways, the highways, this thing operates with precision. It operates decisively, changing lanes to go past slower cars, getting back over safely, avoiding the right lane. So that way, merging traffic, you're not in the way. I was super impressed with what Tesla has done with their full self-driving. There were only several times where I've had to take control of the vehicle. And that lets me know it's not ready for prime time. The first time was when a vehicle next to me on my right just started coming over into my lane. The woman was not paying attention whatsoever. I noticed it. The Tesla noticed it. It made like a beeping sound to which it wanted me to take over. And I took over and I pulled over to the left by the shoulder to give her some room while honking my horn, telling her, please go back to the lane of whence you came. The second time that the vehicle was kind of bothering not to do what I wanted, it was coming off the freeway, and I did not like the way that it pulled into the other lane. I felt that it was too close to the side, and so I took control. Now, each time this happens, you press a button, you tell Tesla what happened because they're looking to improve it. And then yesterday, I was going to the mall to get my daughter some soccer cleats, and I was in the far left-hand lane making a left-hand turn, but the lane next to me also was making a left. As we got the green light to go, it was not making a sharp left-hand turn, and I was afraid it was going to pull directly into the other car turning left, so I took control of the wheel again and drove it the rest of the way. So, no, the prime time for full self-driving, it is not ready at this point in time. Do not let anybody tell you that autonomous vehicles are here and you can trust them. In fact, Tesla does not advertise that their vehicles are autonomous. They tell you that it's a beta. They remind you constantly, put your hand on the steering wheel. They tell you to pay attention because they're working things out. But what it is phenomenal as to how far they've come at this point in time. And it's like magic. It really is. It's magical to be behind this thing. But no, I do not believe it's ready for prime time. Now, since I'm talking about the headlines and people that are going crazy with negativity, what do I see? Well, I see this article, Tesla drivers are switching off self-driving as vehicle safety defects are exposed. And this came out March 24th before they put out the April 1st one-month trial. But people said that they were only using full self-driving 85% of the time. What's great about this article, it doesn't mention whatsoever the fact that it's been updated at this point in time, that it's on a new version, and Tesla was already taking care of that beforehand. It's almost as if people just want to try to hurt Tesla stock because it's hurting the big automotive brands here in the United States. See, I told you, Ford can't keep up with this technology. They've already canceled the Lightning. Chevy can't keep up with this technology. They already canceled the Chevy Bolt. The electric vehicle revolution from the major auto manufacturers is already dead. And you know what they know? They know that they themselves are dinosaurs breathing some of their last fossil fuel breaths. And I don't say that as a hater of gas engines, because I still have my gas car and I think every household should have both gas and electric. Electric simply because once you have it, I think you're going to realize how much money you can save. And gas because I don't trust that one day somebody is not going to cyber attack all the vehicles. So I think you need to have both. But I don't think that most of this talk about Teslas are anywhere near as dangerous as people think they are. Matter of fact, there's a report that just came out that Tesla is 300,000 vehicles short of its goal for quarter one of 2024. And they're saying it like it's the end of the world. What they're not telling you is Tesla still sold more vehicles than all the major United States car brands together just within that quarter. That even though they're 300,000 vehicles short, they outsold Ford, they outsold Tesla, or Tesla Chevy, and Tesla came out very successful. And they're going to sell those vehicles. It's perfectly easy for them to be able to sell those things. That's not going to be a problem for them whatsoever. But it's doom and gloom, just like this eclipse, just like, you know, World War III news. Everything's doom and gloom, although World War III is possible. I mean, quite honestly, see what Iran does at any moment, you know, we could be in a bad spot. All right. Now, some other fun little quick stories hit here before I end the show today. Ben Shapiro, he's been all about Israel, right? Well, Megyn Kelly has called him out, the old Fox host. She now has the Megyn Kelly Show. And she said, you know, does Daily Wire still have free speech? Or is free speech only until it comes to Israel? And I think that, you know, she's correct. Why would the Daily Wire not allow Candace Owens to have her own free speech if that was supposed to be one of the big tenets to the Daily Wire? It does seem to be, to me, I'm not a huge Candace Owens fan, but it does seem to be, to me, a bit of a problem. It's problematic for the Daily Wire. This is kind of like last week, everybody was posting the Daily Wire sweetheart, Jordan Peterson, taking the vaccine stance, to task. And everybody's showing this like, yeah, did you forget Jordan Peterson was like shilling out people for the vaccine? He was telling people, oh, well, you know, I got it because I want to do my part. I want to help people. Now it's all like, well, I already knew this. Just own it, bud. Like, I tell people all the time I got vaccinated. I don't mind. Like, you know what? I got vaccinated. So big deal. It doesn't stop me from still telling the truth of stories that there are such thing as vaccine injuries, and it happens to people. You know, there's nothing wrong with being able to tell that story. Unless you're going to get censored immediately after you say it, well, then that's a problem because there's no such thing as free speech on YouTube and all those other things either. Apparently, Apple doesn't have free speech either, because Jon Stewart also came out and said that Apple would not let them do a segment that was anti-artificial intelligence. And they asked them not to have a Federal Trade Commission chair as a guest. And this is one of the reasons why he's headed back to return co-hosting The Daily Show, because Apple canceled his previous talk show because they could not come to an agreement about some of the content that was supposed to be there. Now, if you haven't watched Jon Stewart on Apple, I highly recommend you check out the old Jon Stewart show on Apple. It was actually well done. I disagree with Jon Stewart on some points. I also think he's absolutely brilliant on others. But I think we should listen to the voices we disagree with just as much as we listen to the ones we agree with, because there is truth in all, right? We can find the truth. It's one of the reasons why, going back, George Carlin is still one of my favorite comedians of all time. I know some people absolutely hate him. My parents couldn't stand him, but he was a truth teller that if you didn't like him, you still had to listen because he had some good stuff that he wanted people to know. And then last story of the day, Facebook again has denied the story that came out yesterday that they gave access to Netflix and then killed their own streaming service because of the special relationship Netflix and Facebook had. Well, that would be one thing to say, no, this isn't true. And they actually had a person say it's shockingly untrue. Meta didn't share private people's messages with Netflix. The agreement allowed people to message their friends on Facebook about what they were watching on Netflix directly from the Netflix app. Such agreements are commonplace in the industry. Well, that's fine, well, and good, except for the fact when you look at the document that was in the courts, it's a little bit more than that. See, the Facebook Extend API agreements, including a so-called inbox API agreement, I'm reading directly from the court document, allowed Netflix programmatic access to Facebook's users' private message inboxes, in exchange for which Netflix would provide to Facebook a written report every 2 weeks that shows that daily counts of recommendations, sends and recipient clicks by interface, initiation service, or implementation variants. And so this is a part of Facebook versus non-Facebook recommendation. And so it has the different emails and documents that were cited. In August 2013, Facebook provided Netflix with access to its so-called Titan API, a private API that allowed a whitelisted partner to access, among other things, Facebook users, messaging app, and non-app friends. Okay, so Facebook is coming out saying this is shockingly untrue. The problem is when you look at the source from Bethay Dunn LLP, which was filed under seal, released May 31st, 2023 now, we are able to read the document, which says it's kind of shockingly is true. But you know what? No one should be shocked that any of these companies are reading your text messages, your direct messages. Sure. You have a right to privacy, but come on now. Do you really expect privacy? They've told you when you put TikTok on your phone, it's tracking you. They told you it's tracking all of your keystrokes. It's in the data, the agreement that you agreed to by downloading that onto your phone. So when you're typing out your text messages, it's able to track everything that you're writing. But yet, people download it anyway. I told you a long time ago, Elon Musk purchasing X was not about free speech. Elon Musk purchasing X is about information. He now had access to the president's and former president's accounts and anything that was happening on back channels through direct messaging. He was able to be able to use an AI algorithm in order to figure out what is really happening in the world and how can you leverage that for future deals. That's what X was all about. I would love the opportunity to ask Elon Musk those questions. I would love to sit down with him and find out if he's ever looked at any of these direct messages, because I wouldn't believe him probably if he said, I've never looked at them. Or if he ever planned to do anything with that for historical context. I think that he would. So folks, fear. That's how they rope us in at this point. It's how they get you to pay attention to all this. Fear about Joe Biden, fear about Donald Trump, fear about Israel, fear about Russia, fear about whatever it may be. Matter of fact, 60 minutes. Oh my God, I want to cut the show, but I got to cover this really quick. I didn't even prepare a segment for this, but 60 minutes on Sunday, Easter Sunday, they did a piece on Havana Syndrome. If you have not seen this, please stop what you're doing and go watch. Not because I believe everything that 60 Minutes reported, but they were linking Russia to Havana Syndrome. And they did so in a pretty convincing way, except I'm wondering why 60 Minutes was allowed to tell us the story and paint it on Russia the entire way. Is this setting us up for another Russia, Russia, Russia information overload in the 2024 election? Because the fear side, whew, it was high on 60 Minutes. So make sure you check that out if you get the opportunity. It was phenomenal, phenomenal. They didn't tell you who Carrie was, the woman that used to work, or I believe is still an FBI agent. They wouldn't give the last name. And I think she had a wig on to try to cover up a little bit of her identity. But she talks about the different stories that they've uncovered over the years of these attacks with what seems like radio waves. It's like the Large Hadron Collider. It's like magnetic fields. And then, oh, you know what? There, see, I'm continuing the stream of consciousness. Magnetic fields. All right. So if we do get a weakening magnetic field and the animals all of a sudden can go quiet with the darkness as well as the magnetic field, possibly birds can act funky during these auras that go on, the northern lights during solar storms. What's to say that humans aren't that different? I'm going to leave you with that with a little thought. So when we say, do things feel weird? Do they feel different? Think about the shots from the X-class solar flare we took just last week to the Earth. Think about the bending of the magnetic fields, the weakening of the magnetic fields. It's down like 35% from where it should be at this point in time. It's weakening quicker than what it's supposed to be weakening at, according to NASA. What's that doing to the human psyche? What's that doing to the way that we are interpreting information? I'll be back on Thursday night recording a live show with Chris Michaels. We'll be on the network Friday with a recap. Looking forward to bringing that. Yes, that's right. Chris Michaels is back from the honeymoon. We will recap with him. I got some questions about his wedding. If he's willing to talk about it on the show, we're going to have a good time, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to be a blast, as well as line up some awesome interviews for you coming up for next week. All right, everybody. Hope I honored your time well. I will talk to you on Friday. You've been listening to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden. Be bold, America.